Okay, now, again, tonight we have the 3rd of April, year 2001. We've entitled the program The Ark of the Covenant. And before I bring Jah on, let me just read a real quick passage out of Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting at verse 15. See, I have set before you this day life by righteousness and death and destruction, and that I command you this day to love Yahweh your Father by walking in all his ways, by keeping his laws, his statutes, and his judgments, so that you may live and multiply, and so Yahweh your Father may bless you in the land which you go in to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and you are drawn away to submit to other gods, to worship them by serving them, I declare to you this day that you will surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. Notice in those verses, folks, we are to obey his laws, statutes, judgments, his commandments. Okay, again, our guest tonight is from Ireland. His name is Jah, and welcome to the program, Jah. How are you doing? Is our guest on yet?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay.
Nice welcome
to be with you.
Excuse me?
It's nice to be with you.
Oh, okay. Okay, folks, again, this is a long-distance call, so we're, you know, bear with us for a few minor glitches. Okay, now, the reason I entitled this The Ark of the Covenant is because Jah has located it, and he's based that upon the things he's going to tell us tonight. And I think it's a fascinating story. So I'm going to turn the mic over to you for a little while, Jah, if you just want to tell us how you got to where you are today and what you're trying to accomplish over there in Ireland.
Okay, Dan. I've started studying the whereabouts of the Ark of the Covenant quite a few years ago. And whilst reading a book by E. Raymond Capt called Jacob's Pillar, there's a photograph in the book of the Hill of Tara in Ireland. And in the book, it talks about the old legends of Jeremiah, the prophet, having brought the Ark and the daughter of King Zedekiah of Jerusalem to Ireland, where she married the High King of Ireland. And whilst looking at the picture of Tara in Capt's book, I was shown a place on the picture where the entrance to the secret Mergek, which is an underground chamber where the Ark is hidden. And I did a lot of research into this through the Bible and through various different history books. And then eventually I came to Ireland and went to the Hill of Tara, which is really the Hill of the Torah. And I went to the spot that I'd been shown on the picture. And when I stood there, there was a diamond illuminated in the grass around me, which I took as confirmation of what I'd been shown years previously, and that was there was the entrance to the underground Mergek, as it's called in the Irish writings. Now, it's called a Mergek. It's the Irish writings originally are written in Gaelic, but in amongst the Gaelic, it says that there is a Mergek, and it's M-E-R-G-E-C-H. And that word is a Hebrew word, not a Gaelic word. So we have everything written in Gaelic except for this one word, which is Hebrew. And it means a temporary resting place for treasure. And in the ancient Irish historical writings, if you go through them all, there are clues as to the exact location of this Mergek. And the location of the Mergek is actually underneath a mound on the Hill of Tara that is called the Mound of the Hostages. And when I got to Tara and was shown all of this, I found out that the Hill of Tara is a protected heritage site, and that you're not allowed to do anything there, not even touch a blade of grass, without a license from the Minister for Heritage, Gaeltacht and the Islands. So I then had the situation where I had to contact the minister to try and get a license in order to be able to open up the entrance to this merge. Now, the diamond shape that I was shown that needs to be excavated is only 2 meters by 2 meters, or just over 6 feet by 6 feet. And all it is flat grass in a field that's full of grass. But it's on this hill that is a protected site. So it would cause no damage whatsoever. And of course, recovering the ark would be the greatest thing that would ever happen on this planet. And there seems to be nothing to lose, as far as the Irish government's concerned, by allowing me to remove 2 meters by 2 meters of grass. And yet they seem extremely reluctant to let me do it. And what I need is I need as many people as possible to contact the minister from around the world, to contact the minister in support of my claim to allow me to dig this very small, minute, really, area of flat grass to gain entrance to this underground tomb. Now, the minister is advised by local Irish archaeologists, and they tend to be the fly in the ointment, because what's happened is that in the 1950s, they excavated the Mound of the Hostages. And the excavation was done by an archaeologist called Sean P. O'Riordan. And halfway through his excavations, he died. And some people say it was in mysterious circumstances, and others just call it an untimely death. But the excavation was then halted for 2 years. And eventually it was taken over by another Irish archaeologist called Rory de Valera, still in the 50s, and he dated the Mound of the Hostages using carbon-14 dating, which was in the early days of carbon-14 dating. And the samples that he's used in order to date it had been corrupted, unbeknown to him, and he's dated it as being 2,500 to 3,000 years older than it really is. So then all the other archaeologists that have followed him have taken this dating that he gave for the Mound of the Hostages as being correct when it isn't. And they've all made their reputations of written books explaining all about the Hill of Tara and the Mound of the Hostages, but using the wrong date and saying that this mound is Stone Age. Now, the thing that makes it even more difficult is the fact that Rory de Valera, who is the person who dated wrongly the Mound of the Hostages, is actually the uncle of the Minister for Heritage, who's called Sheila de Valera. And if she agrees to give me the license, then I am going to prove that her uncle's dating of the Mound of the Hostages is incorrect. So she has a personal reason for not giving me the license. It doesn't make any sense for them to stop me from digging a little bit of flat grass when we have the opportunity, the chance to recover the Ark of the Covenant and lots of other treasures that will be in there also. So because of Sheila de Valera trying to save face on her uncle's behalf and these other archaeologists who followed him and have stuck to the same line, I'm being prevented from doing this excavation. And what I really need is I need as many people as possible to contact Sheila de Valera, the minister, in support of my claim and persuade her to let me dig. And that's why I got in touch with Pastor Dan. And that's the main reason for this program. I have, on the internet, I have a website where this is explained there is, on my website, there is a request form that can be downloaded and printed out on anybody's computer and then just filled in and sent in to Sheila de Valera, the minister. On it, it has the address, it has everything you need. All you need to do is fill it out, put it in an envelope, and send it to Ireland to the minister. And if people could do that, I'd be very grateful.
Do you want to give the website out, Ja?
Yeah, the address of, sorry, Dan, yes, of course, thanks. The website address is...
Ja's website URL address has been updated since this radio interview was done. The new address is as follows. http://i.am/jah/req-u-e-s-t.htm. I repeat. http://i.am/jah/req-u-e-s-t.htm.
Website, they're going to find a ton of information. You have, besides that request form, I mean, you have a lot of information on the history of Tia Tefi and Jeremiah the Prophet. If we could at this time, if you didn't have anything else to talk about in regards to the request,
okay, well, there is something that I'd like to add to that.
Okay.
A further complication with getting this license to dig is the fact that in 1898, some people calling themselves British Israelites came to Tara, and they did an excavation at Tara. And so people say, oh, the British Israelites have already dug a long time ago and they found nothing. Okay, well, that's fine. I knew all about that before I came, and the fact that they found nothing doesn't change anything because they were digging in the wrong place. The British Israelites only had one of the clues as to the location of the Ark. And the clue that they had said that that Tia Tefi, who's buried with the Ark, and of course it doesn't say the Ark is buried in this particular clue. It says that Tia Tefi is buried in the south of the assemblies. Now, on the hill of Tara, there is a rath, which is a word that means a ring fort, for those of you that don't know. And it's called the Rath of the Synods, and of course, Synod means assembly, so it's the Rath of the Assemblies. And the clue that they had, the one clue they had, said that she was buried in the south of the Assemblies, in the south of the Rath of the Synods. So that's where they dug. And they dug in the south side of there, and they found nothing. Well, if you look at that one clue on its own, it doesn't really tell you anything, because the whole of the rest of Ireland is south of the Rath of the Synods, right down to the coast, you know, to the south coast of Ireland. That, geographically, is south of the Rath of the Synods. So one clue tells us nothing. But anyway, they dug there, having that only one clue, and found nothing. So now everybody says, oh, the British Israelites have dug there a long time ago, they found nothing, so you must be wrong. Well, if you find all of the clues, which I've done, then you can pinpoint the location. Now, in order to pinpoint a location, you need at least three coordinates, not one, as the British Israelites had. Okay, it's south of the Rath of the Synods, but, you know, that covers a large area.
Mm-hmm.
So the other clues are that she was buried northeast of the Forad. The Forad is Gaelic, meaning the inauguration mound, which is where the Leofail, Stone of Destiny, Jacob's Pillar, was kept for over 1,000 years after Tia Tefi brought it to Ireland. And all of the high kings of Ireland, the kings of Tara, who were crowned sitting on that stone on the inauguration mound at Tara, for over 1,000 years, until it was taken to Scotland by Fergus. in 500 AD. So we know from that clue that she was buried northeast of the Inauguration Mound. We know from the previous clue that she was buried south of the Wrath of the Sinners. And the third clue is that the Mound of the Hostages was built by her husband over the place where she was going to be buried. And it tells us in the ancient Irish historical writings, which are called the Dinschenkas, that this mound was raised over her by Ilche MacDuach, who was her husband. He was the High King of Tara. And it tells us the dimensions of the mound, and the dimensions that it gives us match the Mound of the Hostages. Now, the Mound of the Hostages is northeast of the Inauguration Mound, and it is directly south of the Wrath of the Sinners, or the Assemblies. So we now have three coordinates that place the Mergech, where Tefi was buried, underneath, not in the Mound of the Hostages, but underneath it. The archaeologists say that, we excavated the Mound of the Hostages in the 50s and there was nothing there, or at least nothing related to the Ark and to Tiatefi. But that isn't what the writings say. The writings say that she was buried underneath it, not in it, and that this Mergech is actually under the ground, underneath the Mound of the Hostages, and the entrance is off to the side. And the reason for the Mound of the Hostages was placed over the top was to permanently mark the spot, and at the same time to act as a decoy or to camouflage it, because people would only think of digging and excavating the Mound of the Hostages. They would never think of going underneath it. And also the fact that it was there would, unless you knew where the entrance was off to the side, you'd have to remove the whole Mound of the Hostages before you could even start digging to find the Mergech. So for all of those reasons, it was put over the top. And because they have dated the Mound of the Hostages wrongly by carbon-14 as being Stone Age, as being 2,500 years older than it really is, they're saying that, well, because it is that age, it's not possible for this Mergech, which is Iron Age, to be underneath it. And of course it's wrong, because the carbon dating is wrong. Carbon dating, if you get a sample that hasn't been corrupted, and of course there's no way of knowing whether a sample has been corrupted or not when you test it, but if you take a sample that has been corrupted, and the greatest corrupter of carbon-14 dating material is water. What happens is that water, if the sample gets wet, or even consistently wet, which makes it even worse, it washes out the radioactivity prematurely and makes the sample appear to be much older than it is. And of course, Ireland is the Emerald Isle, and it didn't get to be so lush and green without a lot of rain. And of course, the sample that they've used in the early days, in the 50s, the early days of carbon-14, they didn't realize that water washed out the radioactivity and corrupted the sample. So they thought they'd got a genuine date, but in actual fact, they were wrong. My difficulty is that the fact that Sheila de Valera's uncle is the one who dated it, and also these other archaeologists, who are the most eminent archaeologists in Ireland, have followed on from his dating, written books and theses, and made their reputations on the strength of that wrong dating. They're the ones that advise the minister. And they're saying, oh, you know, this guy's a lunatic because he can't possibly be there, because it's a Stone Age mound, and you can't have an Iron Age Mergech under a Stone Age mound. And of course, the whole thing comes down to their false god of carbon-14 dating. It tells us in the ancient Irish writings, the ancient Irish historical records, it tells us by name who built the Mound of the Hostages, and we can date him. And he was Tiatefi's husband. And that was in the Iron Age. It was in the 6th century BC. And they're saying that, you know, that the Mound of the Hostages has been there for since 2,000 or 3,000 BC, which is ridiculous. So this is the difficulty that I'm having. And I know there are people all over the planet, people who understand the message of the real, you know, the lost tribes that this program's about, who believe that the Ark is at Torah. And what I need is all those people to start a campaign to contact the minister, and it has to be a sustained campaign. It can't be just an odd letter from one person here or there and then forget about it. It has to be a sustained campaign where you get everybody that you could possibly get, because there's absolutely nothing to lose in this. The worst that can happen is that we remove this little tiny piece of grass and we find nothing to put the grass back. There's absolutely no downside to it. And the upside is that we find the greatest treasure there's ever been on this planet.
Okay, Ja, we got to go to break, so hold that for after break, please.
Okay.
Listen to us worldwide on hbroadcast.com. This is the Heritage Broadcast System.
Did you miss a program by one of your favorite broadcasters? Wish to obtain copies of interesting programs to add to your library? Steve Melching offers quality copies of all programs heard on the Heritage Broadcasting System. Audio cassette tapes, only $10. Standard CDs, only $15 each. And now Steve is offering 5 shows. That's Monday through Friday programming on encoded crystal clear audio, MP3 CD, for only $20 plus shipping. To order, call Steve Melching at 219-356-2611. That's 219-356-2611.